Turn in your Bibles. Good morning to you out there. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 3, the book of Philippians. We're going to pick up where we were last time with a scripture, and we're going to walk on it because we're continuing in this sermon series that I've been bringing since the first of the year, and it's looking at, you know, this newness that we have in Christ Jesus and how it just continues to build as we go every day in that newness. Because, you know, we start a new year. Our world looks at a new year, right? And we got a new year to do it all over again. But in Christ Jesus, we understand something. Every day is a new day. Every day is fresh and new. We get to start over how often? Every day, because God is fresh and new every day. And in that, God wants us, God's will for each and every individual on planet Earth that ever was, is, or will be, is that we would be saved. That is His will. That's what He wants. He doesn't care if you're a race car driver, a taxi car driver, or a streetcar driver. Doesn't matter. You can be whatever you want to be. Whatever you are gifted towards, that's what God wants you to become as a career. But God wants you to be saved. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to have eternal life. It says in the Old Testament, I would that every man turn from sin. And that's what God wants for us. Because in the New Testament, Jesus Christ gave us that ability to turn from sin and be changed through His payment in our lives. So today we're going to be looking at the battle of two wills. Within each and every one of us, there's a battle that takes place. Because when we understand that God has a will that He wants us to work towards, which is salvation, and we have a will that we've been working on since birth called sin nature, the two are at odds with each other. And it is a battle that is going to take place until the day we die. And in that death of the physical body, we will be born into the spirit world completely and totally. And that is going to be awesome because this flesh is going to go away and we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye for those of us who are left here when the rapture happens. But for those of us who pass on, we go before God the Father and we are waiting for that physical body to come. But spiritually we are changed. We can sin no more. How's that grab you? You know, we all say, well, oh man, I can't wait until that day. Then why are you doing the stuff you're doing here? Well, Pastor, it's like this, okay? We need to talk about that, and I want you to understand, God understands. In fact, so much so, He talks about it a lot through those who wrote the Scriptures for us. In your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3, we looked at verses 7 through 14. Now, I want us to concentrate on verses 12 through 14 today, all right? Last week, we looked at verses 7 through 14 as one of our main texts. But today, I want to really concentrate on verses 12 through 14. Because Paul here is telling us, you know, what we're going to become, or the direction that we should be going, that we need to count all things of this world as rubbish, and we need to move towards the things of God, that we need to attain those things. That is to be changed, okay? That is to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, all right? But Paul has these words for you and I, and we need to understand that this is where we are, and it's also where Paul is, from verse 12. He says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I need to ask you a question. Does that sound like an easy proposition? Does it sound there like Paul is having an easy road at this? It says, I press on. I press on toward the goal. Doesn't say I skip and hop with joy and laughter. It says, I press on towards the goal. This is a battle that is going to take place in each and every one of our lives. It's going to be difficult because we have to go against this nature, which we all know oh so well, and we have to take a nature that is outside of us and allow it to change us. And that is the nature of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I have the ability to receive that power. That's one of the reasons I chose that song that we just sang. You know, number one, what do you believe? Okay. But number two, who are you? Who are you? Are you who you say you are, or are you who God says you are? The reality is you're both. But you have to determine which one you're going to give power to. Because Paul here is talking about a battle that rages within each and every one of us. Not that he has already attained all these things. He considers all this stuff rubbish, okay? How many of us know getting drunk is rubbish? But how many people out there still go out and get drunk? Okay? How many of us know the speed limit is 55? Or 35? Or 25. I don't need to go any further, do I? We know, but do we do? I think there's a scripture about do-dos and don't-don'ts. Does anybody remember that scripture? If you've not remembered that scripture, allow me to remind you of it. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're in chapter 7. You see, each and every one of us who is in Christ, we try to walk aright. And there is this raging battle in each and every one of us. And a lot of us, you're like, oh, well, it's not that bad. Really? Really? How many of us cling to things that we know we shouldn't be clinging to? You know, my mom is so mean, she makes me clean my bedroom. Really? That's a mean mom? I think that's a disobedient child. What? Huh? Of course, I was never there. I always had a clean room. My mom's dead. You can't ask her to tell the truth. Verse 14 through 25. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the member of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. You and I are constantly at battle. Okay, and there's a lot of people that think, oh, well, this is a New Testament thing. You know, we're only fighting because, you know, this is a New Testament thing. I hate to tell you this. This began in the garden. If you look in your Bible and want to find this, man, go to chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. You will find there where the battle really began. It began all the way at the beginning with great, 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 exponential grandma and grandpa Adam and Eve. They began this. They were at odds with the flesh and with the law of the spirit. And we have been at war ever since. All we have to do is look to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, beginning in the 27th chapter, and reading 27, 28, 29, and 30. Four chapters delivered to it, where God took Israel and he set them on two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And they spoke blessings and cursings because they understood that there's a dichotomy that operates in each and every one of us, that we can either operate in the spirit or we can operate in the flesh. And the flesh brings cursing and the spirit brings blessing. But we have to choose which one we're going to follow today. And that battle is not an easy thing to comprehend, because there are many things that we think, oh, well, this doesn't matter. That's where it matters most. Does it really matter that, you know, I'm texting and driving? Come on, do you think God really cares? I do. You know, we don't think about it in those modern technological terms. Do you think God wants you as an individual to be doing something so irresponsible that in the blink of an eye you can kill yourself or other people? Is that being morally responsible? That's being morally reprehensible, is exactly what that is. And a lot of us are saying, wow, Pastor, you just came down pretty hard on that. Suck it up, cupcake. Life's that real. There are things that we know are wrong, and yet we continue to do them. I hate when my cell phone rings and I'm in the car. It's one of the reasons I don't carry my cell phone that much. Because when that thing rings, we obey it, don't we? We bow down to it. I had to laugh. Yesterday, I was away from here. We were down with Russell and Noel. And hi, kids, I hope you're watching today. You better be watching today. You're not in church. And we're down there butchering, and every young person in the room had their cell phones out. We'd all be having conversations, and they're all, are we Malmatose to you people? You know, we're all standing around, and you're, It controls us. Oh, but you don't understand. It vibrated in my pocket. I had to get it. Mine's in the truck. Right now, this is important. I mean, what would you all think if Pastor got a... it's not even in my pocket. In fact, we just shut Lynn's off. My cell phone rings or buzzes or vibrates or whatever they do, and I pull it out in the middle of sermon, and I'm taking a text. Wouldn't you all feel just lovely? But we do it all the time. We don't realize that we are literally walking on that knife's edge between the spirit world and the flesh. And it is a knife's edge. It is not easy. And it's so amazing because all it takes is one little deception. And the snake said, did he really say? I mean, can you hear that accusation? You know, does it really mean? And yet in our spirits, we know the answer to that question, don't we? But we will allow it that little bit of twist. You know, we were talking about this stuff in discipleship today. We will allow that little bit of twist. Oh, well, you know, that's a gray area. The only gray area is between your ears. And your brain is gray, by the way. We just killed a whole bunch of pigs, and every one of their brains was gray. Yeah. They don't call it gray matter for nothing. when you and I understand that in God's word, okay, unless you're in the Gospels, it's black and white. Now, turn back just a few chapters, and it's black, white, and red. Okay? Why is the red in there? Because that's what Jesus said. I think it's funny. John 1:1 says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This whole Bible ought to be red. From beginning to end. And you need to be the one reading it. Did you catch that? This whole Bible ought to be read by every one of us. And I'm not talking the color. I'm literally talking about reading it. Every day. Oh, amen. Amen. At least a portion of it, right? Yeah. Because in that, we're going to grow in our spiritual selves. We're going to understand what God really does expect of us. You know, I think it's one of the most amazing things that people will tell me, well, you know, how can you really know what God wants? Have you read the book? You know, they haven't made a movie of it yet. They've tried, and it's not really very good. You know, that generally happens. The book is never like the movie, or the movie's never like the book. So read the book. Yeah, it's going to take time, but guess what? It's the only thing that you have. Is this time on this side of the grave to get it right? So invest that time in the good things. Invest that time in the things that we should be doing, not the things that we shouldn't be doing. You and I are going to be constantly walking. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world is going to give you all kinds of choices out there. The world is going to ask you to do all kinds of things that you know you shouldn't be doing. All right? I mean, that's one of the reasons I turned off my TV set. Because all they do is bombard you with buy this, buy that, check this out, do this, do that. And before you know it, you know, nothing is impossible for us. Nothing is immoral to us because it's all acceptable, right? No, God says not all things are good for us. And we need to be able to discern what is good and what is proper and what is right. And the only way we're going to do that is to walk with God in spirit to understand that truth. That's why Paul said what he did here, that we need to be people of spirit, aligning with the Spirit of God. Because as we walk in spirit, so too will we walk in the rightness of Christ. But you have to have an understanding of where that comes from. I have to have an understanding of where that comes from. And so many of us don't understand. How many of you like the Burger King model? Have it your way. Don't you like being able to go into the drive-thru and say, I would like a Whopper with no cheese, no tomato, no lettuce, no mayonnaise, no ketchup, and no mustard? Excuse me? That's just a burger. That's not a Whopper. No, it's a Whopper because I get to define it. No. A Whopper has cheese and tomato and onion and lettuce and ketchup and mayonnaise and onion and pickle. That's a Whopper, all right? You take all that away, you got a burger. Oh, no, that's a Whopper. Because I get to define it. And isn't that what we do with life? We want to define it. Well, who are we making God when we do that? Me. I'm my own God. I get to do it my way. I think it's funny. Henry Ford had a saying, you can have a Ford any color you want as long as it's black. I don't think anybody argued with him, and they bought a lot of Fords when he first started out. It was the only color. I mean, you can have any color you want, black. I look at some of these things that go down the highways today, and I'm like, What is the name of that color? That is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Oh my gosh, put it in the garage, please. And then there are others that's like, oh man, I gotta follow him. And we run after the things of this world. Do you get my point? We run after the things because it looks good. It titillates us. How many of us have ever thought about God being that impressive in our lives? That God wants us to love him so much that all we do is exist for him. All we do is give ourselves to him that he would glorify us. I'm telling you right now, and this is going to sound bad, and I don't mean for this to sound the way it's probably going to come out to some people. Years ago, this is B.C. in my life, before Christ, okay? Before Christ in my life, and there are several of you here who can identify with me. Drugs, alcohol, and illicit sex. Man, I'm telling you, that was everything I went after. And, oh, life was good. So I thought, life was so good that at the age of 18, I tried to commit suicide. That's how good life was. I think it's funny because I get so wrapped up now. I'm 57 now, okay? I get so wrapped up in God right now, I get giddy. I mean, I get so high on God. Drugs can never get me close to where God can take me with absolutely nothing but his love and his spirit in me. I have soared on heights that no man can touch. In the spirit of God, he has taken me to places and at the worst times of my life. I mean, you all know where I've been. You know I should be dead. One of the greatest experiences I ever had was the day that angel grabbed my arm and said, it's done. Oh, my Lord, I've never felt such pain in my life. It felt like 10,000 volts went through my body when she said that. Grab my arm, it is done. Bam! But I'm telling you what, in the midst of that pain, the glory I felt, the love I experienced and the healing that he gave me, I was bleeding out my boots. Gone. Done. When she said done, she meant it was done. And I'm here today. Boy, you can't do drugs. You can't get drunk enough to make that stuff happen. God is into life, real, here, present, now. Healing, changing, growing, eternal. Life in the flesh has one goal. One. Death. Total separation from God for all eternity. That's Satan's entire goal, is to separate us from the love of God. But we know from the book of Romans that we are more than conquerors, for nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen on that one? But you and I have to choose to walk in that reality every day. We have got to battle with what's going on in us. We cannot allow second best. We can't say, oh, well, you know, nobody really knows. God knows. You know. And you are who he says you are. Stop letting the world influence you. You are a child of God. You are heir to the kingdom. And you don't have to settle for second best. God has far better in store for you than you could ever hope or dream. That's his word. That's his promise. No mind has seen. How does it say that? No eye has seen and no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who are in Christ Jesus. You all know how I feel about that. Anything you can think of, God is beyond it. What does God have in store for us? What do you want to do? What is your wildest expectation within the limits of moral things? Oh man, I cannot wait to go to Jupiter and pick up diamonds in the diamond rain. It rains diamonds on Jupiter. I don't know if you know that. Okay? I cannot wait to go to Saturn and run my fingers through the rings of Saturn. I can't wait to visit Pluto and sit there and watch the sun, just that little spot out there in freezing cold that we would never be able to imagine. If I can conceive those things, what is in store for me is even farther beyond that. Because we cannot comprehend the mind of God. But yet, we can comprehend doing the things that we do here on earth. And we can comprehend doing the things that separate us from God every moment of every day. God tells us whatever is good, whatever is noble, we are to fix our mind on these things. Fix our mind on the things of heaven. Because then these things will mean far less. Brothers and sisters, that means we need to choose what we're going to do and where we're going to go. Because when we do, the next two verses after chapter 7 in the book of Romans become our truth. I got to turn back there because I closed my Bible when I was putting my point out there. Romans 8, 1 and 2. I want you to read these two verses with me, because when we choose to walk in the Spirit, when we choose not to walk in the flesh, when we choose God, this is our promise. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's our promise. That's our heritage when we walk in alignment with God. God wants us to realize every day is a new day. Every day He wants us to seek out that salvation and walk in the sanctification of His Word, to be transformed to the image of His Son. He wants us to understand that He knows that we are going to struggle, that it's going to be a battle, but that battle has a purpose because you and I are being prepared for eternity. Actually, we're being prepared for the millennium and then eternity. Because during the millennium, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. If you are in Christ now, you will be a leader when the millennium is set up. You will be in charge of tens and fifties and hundreds and thousands. Okay? Each and every one of us is going to be in a position of authority at that point in time. We are being prepared now to take that authority and work it to good and not towards the things of ill or things of the flesh, because we will not be able to sin at that point. We will be changed completely and totally. But we need to have in our minds and in our hearts the understanding of what sin is and what it does and choose the good so that we are prepared for eternity. You see, God could make us eternally whole right now. Wouldn't you like that, Mitch? I would love it, but guess what would happen? I'd have to leave this place because I would have to be in eternity until the time of the resurrection and the establishment of the millennium. So I'm going to wait because I have a work to do. And guess what? You're my work. And guess what? You have a work to do. It's first to change you and then to go into all the world and take that message. But you're here today to learn. This is how we love God. This is how God transforms us. This is how God's mercies are fresh and new to us every day. Because if we don't accept those fresh and new mercies, as soon as we sin, that day is done, right? Wrong. You see, that's the love of God. He says, confess it to me. Confess, kick it up here. Get it up here. Repent. What does repent mean? What's that?
Change.
To change, to turn. Okay? Repent means to change, to turn. And as soon as you and I repent, God says, okay, let's go again. You see, my God is not a God who kicks us down and kicks us to the curb when we screw up. Because I'll guarantee you, if he did, I couldn't be standing up here today. But praise be to God that his love for me is not only fresh and new every day, but it is fresh and new every moment, because God is not, you know, we have this picture of God. I want you to think, what's your picture of God? You know, I think of Charlton Heston the Ten Commandments. Thank you, right? And Charlton Heston comes down off the mountain. He's got this big glowing white hair and beard, you know, and I know that was just Charlton Heston. But I think of this big old gentleman up in heaven, you know, over everything, right? We all do, right? Because he's our father. Guess what? My father was 20 years old when I was born. Did he have a big white flowing beard and long white hair? No, he was a young man. God is ever young. He does not age. He has existed from time immortal, all right? Time began for us. Has God aged through time, Marion? No, God wears time on his wrist. Time does not affect God. God affects time. Please remember that. So when you think about the wisdom of God and the love of God, he is fresh, he is new, he is young, and that's how he wants us to be. Even when we're 57, even when we're, I won't say it. Go for it. Even when we're 81, Miss Gloria, God bless you, dear sister. God wants us to be like what? Children. Children. You know, I can remember when I used to tell Russell something and he would just believe it. I didn't have to explain why. All I had to do was tell him something and he would believe it. Now he's 30 years old. If I tell him something, he's got to argue. And I remind him, I have a master's degree, you only have a bachelor's, shut up. Still doesn't work. But we want to argue, don't we? Because we know what we want. But God knows what is good, amen? For God is good and all the time. And when we operate in that, we will be working in the Spirit, and the Spirit will change us, and we will be set free. Brothers and sisters, that's what we want, is to be set free. I don't want this battle anymore. I know it's going to happen every day, and you need to understand, it's going to happen every day. But choose well. Choose the good, and see where God will take you. It's going to be far better. Hey, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy road. God never said he was going to give us an easy road, did he? In fact, he said, in this life you will have light and momentary troubles. But I am always with you. I will be there for you. I am going to get you to the end. And that's what we need to remember. God is in it for delayed gratification. He knows where he wants us to be. And where is that? With him in eternity. If you get it all now, it's all you get. But if you can delay that gratification and take the little bits and learn and grow and be changed, in the end, you get it all. In fact, we're told that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we can have a little bit of fun now, or a little bit of glory now, or we can wait and get it all at the end. And then there's no sin. There's nothing bad. All the bad's going to be gone. So when we get it all, it's all good. Which do you want? Which do you really want? That which lasts for eternity, or that which perishes in this life? I'm just saying. Choose well. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, you give us that hope. You give us that ability to choose you, to love you, and to walk aright. And you also give us the ability to choose not so good, not so well, not so right. But Lord, we get to pay the penalty for that. And the question is, do we want to? I pray the answer is no. And I pray, Lord, that you would change us to the glory of your Son. Father, bless us that we may move in the hope of the resurrection of Christ, that we may somehow attain to that measure and be with you forever. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.